Pocket Ads is brought to you by Collector's King. They are always for collectors. It's a brand new product they always sell at retail. They carry all the TCGs in addition to Pokemon. Their mission is to bring more people into their hobby and provide product at fair prices. Come join the collector army and start the hobby revolution. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Collectible Kings. That's collectible with a K for information on all their online product drops. And also by Gamers Move. Get your nerd on at gamersmove.com for all video game news, esport news, podcasts, your lovely Pokedads, anything else your nerdy heart can think of at gamersmove.com.
This week on Pokedads, we talk about all things prepping for a regional with our favorite special guest, Justin. What's up, man?
Not much. What's up with you guys?
Chilling.
Grass is best.
At the end of the pod after your amazing info of prepping for a regional. Do you think you knew what you were saying? I don't know what I'm trying to say. My brain's kind of...
Do you ever know what you're trying to say?
If you feel like you edumacated the Pokedads well enough.
A little bit. I definitely was caught off guard by the questions. I was definitely thinking you guys were going to ask, like, yeah, get a good night's sleep, drink water, stuff like that. I was like, oh, I'm totally ready for these questions.
I mean, got this.
Yeah, I'm a dad. I did my best to comply.
That's kind of funny. Pokedads asking Pokedad questions. But hey, I got this for you. Before we jump in the pod, make sure you get 8 hours of sleep, drink some water, and also drink consistently throughout the day when you're at the regionals.
And have a good breakfast. It's important.
Have a great breakfast.
Big old healthy breakfast.
But aside of dad jokes and lore, we got more and more better questions in this episode. Let's roll.
All right.
Pokedad Nation, welcome to another exciting episode of Pokedads, a Pokemon TCG podcast. Your fun source for decks, meta calls, lame dad jokes, or anything you can comment in the fun world of Pokemon TCG. Hit us up on any of social media at Pokedads TCG, or if you're watching us on Twitch, just Pokedads, and then hit us up on that text line at 815-782-0202 for question of the week, polls, whatever. Just, you know, send. Just don't send nudes. That's a little weird. It's a little weird, guys. Anyways, I'm your host, Pokedad Rick. With me today is
Pokedad Aaron
and Intern Drew.
What's up, guys? What's up? What's up? Welcome to a fun episode. We have a special guest, Pokebrew, Pokedad Justin, in the second half of the episode, talking all things regional and how to prep for it. And Drew threw some tough questions at him.
We all threw some tough questions. Saying. Also, I don't know how I feel about the new intro. If you just kind of like threw it in there, I was like, this isn't the normal words. What the fuck? Am I supposed to bob my head back and forth?
Sometimes you go down, you point it up, point it through. At least your mic's working today.
Yeah, professional.
As far as we know.
Look, we have to look at the chat.
Just
like,
wait.
Aaron, we can't hear.
Hey, can't hear you. What's going on, guys?
Yeah. Well, since we know Aaron has a mouthful of catching up with things, we'll start with Drew. Drew, how are things? How's COVID life?
It's good. Most of you guys know I got COVID on Friday last week, immediately after the pod, which was super fun. My wife was out of town, so I had to beg my family members to get me supplies, like gallons of Gatorade and stuff like that, which is a good time. And you'd think with all this downtime, I'd have like so much extra time to do Pokemon flavored things, but dude, I was a wreck. Like, my voice sucked, like my body energy was just lacking entirely, and that was probably the most frustrating part about all of it. But then yesterday kind of mustered all the strength that I had to piece together our very first Patreon tourney, and we played standard format, and that was actually a blast. I invited a bunch of my teammates from here in my testing group, and they came through and brought a little bit of diversity in the form of everyone basically playing an Arceus deck, which is really funny. And surprisingly enough, as rigged as it may sound, it was me and my brother in the finals. And that was
rigged.
Yeah, that was right. A really good time. No. Between having the small check-in window and stuff like that, it definitely didn't feel good to kind of have my placing, if you will. But I still played pretty good. I played Duraludon, you know, tried and true power tower.
Yeah.
And we had two Blastoise decks in not only the tournament, but in the top cut too, which was sick.
Yeah, Drew's first two wins of the tournament was one couldn't make it and the other one didn't clock in time. So.
Oh!
Yep, so we've abbreviated that now, and we've made the check-in window 10 minutes for a 30-minute best of one round. And it was the first of many to come, so I think it went pretty well in the little group chat that we had,
mm-hmm.
And the video chat, and being able to stream each other's games was a lot of fun, and I look forward to, you know, many more of these in the future. It was actually a blast. And, you know, if you played in the tourney, make sure you check your trades, because I have distributed prizing to everyone who played.
Nice, man. That's that was sick. Yeah, I was on for a little bit to catch up with you guys. It was a very nice, chill environment. It was really cool.
Yeah, and then before we pass the torch to somebody else, congratulations, Jeremy, on winning the tournament with Arceus Blastoise. He was very, very hyped on his 6CD that he brought to the tourney. And
did you build it?
I helped him, yeah, but he piloted it. It don't matter who builds it, it's about who wins with it. But yeah, he played outstanding. It was a sick best of three. You know, he did the last game. It was kind of like who was bricking less to kind of pull off the dub, but he had it in the bag. And GG's, hats off to you. Go Corviknights.
That's good. Hey, Darren, how are things?
Things are good. Let's see here. So I, for those who don't know, I do D&D stuff as a homebrew thing. I talked about it a bunch of different times. It's my second job. I release the Foundry model, which is a virtual tabletop that I've been working on. I've probably put a solid 300 hours in this thing, if not more, that I finally released on my Patreon 2 or 3 days ago. But in doing so, I neglected some of my other D&D stuff, so I still have to make monsters for my Patreon, I have to make a monster hunt for my Patreon, I have to make all the fucking requests for my Patreon, and then I'm also 2 weeks behind currently on my questionary stuff, so I have to get all that cut up as well. So, for the next, like, 10 days, I am basically D&D non-freaking stop. To get caught back up to everything.
Sounds like a normal week with you, anyway.
Hey, it's technically it's more D&D, I'm just saying.
D&D.
Yes. So that is kind of what's been going on with me. Other than that, real life stuff, the wife is good, the kid is good. He went on a field trip. They went to a baseball game that during the rainiest freaking day of the week. So they had fun, they enjoyed it. He wished he brought his coat when she told me he should have brought his coat because it was like 60 degrees. But otherwise it was a good time. And yeah, everything else is great. My wife's looking at a bunch of outside plans. I have no idea.
Your father of the year, right?
I knew he was good. I knew he went. I knew he had fun. I have no idea who he went to see because that's not what matters.
He had full faith in the education system to keep him safe.
My wife was going to chaperone, but they didn't. They had enough volunteers where she didn't end up going. So otherwise, she would have gone with him and stuff like that. So, but it was a good time. Great.
That's sweet, man.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Shan started her job this week. So, so far, so good. She goes in twice a week. She went on Monday and she went today. You know, just learning, vibing. I think she's enjoying it. I can ask her right now. Are you enjoying it? It was like kind of a long pause and then so.
For those who couldn't hear, I heard it clearly. She said, I fucking hate it.
Exact words.
Verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I can't believe this week is almost over. I already miss being, just let my brain do its own thing for the past 6 months.
Yes. Losing the freedom. The worst thing in the world.
She said, I love being a bum.
Who doesn't?
Same.
Yeah, so, just going through that, so I'm happy for her. And then we're getting, yeah, man, we're just plugging along. Finn is, we're going to transfer him into his new bed. Shannon's been working on that. She painted the bed that she got from Slyby for a whopping, I think it was $16. It was $20. Yeah. And it was black and white. And she's like, fuck the black. I'm going to sand it, paint it, prime it. This gray blue. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. When it's done, I'll put it up on our Discord. But she's got priming left out of everything. She did a lot of work.
Good.
But she's almost there. Thank you. And then Finn's not sick. We had a little scare over the weekend, though. From Emma's sister having COVID and then being in the car with her to drive her to their mom's and then not letting me know until Saturday that Kira had COVID. So then we had to keep Emma away from everybody and then have a mask on while she was here for the rest of the weekend. And nice. then we had a little scare that we thought she had chicken pox.
Nice. Honestly, she probably has the vaccine would be my assumption, so it probably wouldn't have been that bad.
No. It ended up just being a rash, but it was pretty hardcore. Like Shan's like, I it looks like it. And I'm going through pictures and stuff. And I'm like, it does look like it. But her sister got the chicken pox, I guess months ago. And she was vaccinated too, but I didn't know like being vaccinated, you would still catch it.
You can still catch it. It'll just be a mild version of it. So like not really that bad. But I'll just remind you, like, my kid had scarlet fever at one point where he had a nasty-ass rash, too, from it. So it could have been something like that.
Yeah. She just had an allergic reaction of a shirt she was wearing on Saturday. We were outside all day and stuff like that. And then got wet. And she has very sensitive skin. Yep. But, yeah. But, yeah, so we were kind of, like, just a little worried about that. And then Shannon started her job on Monday. She's like, I have no time for fucking COVID. I was like, I know, babe. Right. We have no time. And then I were worried about possibly chicken pox and then Finn. And we're like, we don't have time for this. And then somehow, magically, we were able to get away from it. We're good. We're somehow good. So prayers go out to Arceus. For looking GGs. Out for us. Yeah. Yuri. It's the Pokemon God, Shannon.
One of them. I mean, it is the one.
But yeah. Jigglypuff is not a god.
Jigglypuff is not a god. No. No.
Jigglypuff, damn it.
Yeah. And then outside that is just slowly prepping stuff for the Milwaukee stuff. Got Aaron some gifts because You know, got a playmat holder for the PokéDad's playmat. Got some sleeves, even though the sleeves that he has now are going to be trashed by the time of the tournament. But now he can go through different greens before he chooses the green he needs to represent.
The official green.
His grass deck. Yeah.
So, I do have those really nice Venusaur sleeves as well.
Yeah, you can't play them, though.
Right, I forgot about that. Stupid rules.
You can play test them, though.
Yeah. You can play test them.
That's right.
But they're only good after like a game or so anyways, because if you remember when we were playing with Mew, even Mew with the nice ones, they still mark and ripped and you're like, this is dumb. Throw them in the garbage.
Mew's so different because you need to shuffle that deck 16 times in a turn.
That's fair. So,
take that with a grain of salt. I blasted through Dragon Shields with my Mew deck. I'm on my second set with a proxy deck already.
So yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun and then getting stuff for cards and stuff. So I've been literally texting. The sad part about our friendship is once we stopped playing Dokken, I don't hear from him every day like I used to, because he would just text me stupid stuff.
Here's shit's going on.
And now, even though we have Pokemon, he doesn't text me anything about Pokemon. So it's just
I
like,
send you Pokemon stuff on a rare occasion when I see it on Reddit. I'm like, this is funny. Send it to Reddit.
Well, I know it's a rare kid. I have to text you now and be like, are you alive?
What you're saying is that the Pokemon subreddit needs to step up their game.
So I'd be texting him like, do you want this? Do you want this? Okay. Okay, cool. Now you're pimped out. Aaron's ready. He's got his grass deck box that he got a year ago.
Yeah.
Now he's got this green playmat holder that he's gonna rock. And green sleeves. He's got this, everybody.
In case you guys are wondering, green is the best color.
Grass is best.
Grass is best. But yeah, all right, well, that's it. That's a good. Life is good. Pokemon's fun. We'll get into that, say that Pokemon. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to probably botch it as much as possible. So. I'm nervous.
I'm ready for it.
I've read it, yeah. All right. Conkeldurr?
Nailed it. You nailed it.
It's right. Obviously Conkeldurr.
No, it's Conkeldurr. It's, yeah, I was very surprised. I have reason to believe you cheated. This is rigged.
I mean, I really feel like Rick probably read it as Conkeldurr. And I was like, no. What is it? What is it actually?
Yeah. I was trying to... So, looking at it, I was like, all right, or is it like Conkeldurr? Like Conkeldurr.
You just said it the same way at the same time. It's great.
yeah, Gen 5, honestly, had no idea who this Pokemon was. I had when you messaged in the Discord and you're like, yuck, I was like, oh yeah, he's I didn't even know he was a stage 2. It's like, holy cow, fighting Pokemon stage 2. You're never going to see this guy. That's
the replacement Machamp.
What? What is he replacing?
Well, no, because Gen 5 is basically like a reskin of Gen 1. So, like, if you go through all the Pokemon, there's like Roggenrola replaces the Geodude line, if you will.
Do you not recall that Machamp and like... Machamps and Machokes and stuff all in, they're always in construction sites and stuff like that. Look at them. Construction.
Yeah.
Just a replacement Machamp.
It was a nonchalant thing. It's not legitimately like, yeah, we're going to delete Gen 1 and this is where you start over. It was just like a, let's use this format and then plug in your Pokemon into these specific slots.
So they added, so Gen 5 had 150 Pokemon?
That's a really good question. I think legendaries aside.
Okay.
It's the core is about 150.
Okay.
I think there's more legendaries.
Well, yeah, because what? We only had the birds and Mewtwo and Mew in the first gen.
Sure.
Was Gyarados considered? I know Arcanine originally. Legendary. I just know Arcanine at one point was considered it, and now I believe it's not.
No, they can't even have the decency to give it a rule box.
That's true. Conkeldurr is based off of a buff clown-like construction worker wielding two pillars of concrete. It has a goatee which appears to be made from concrete. That's pretty strong, right?
I mean, concrete's pretty brittle, realistically, especially in like that small shape and size. So I would disagree.
It is believed that he can learn how to make concrete long ago in order to construct stronger structures, and taught the skill to humans about 2,000 years ago.
You're welcome, so, humanity.
Yeah, so we got abilities because of this Pokemon. That's pretty intense.
The elder in the name refers to that.
No, that's really nice. Thanks, Drew. Drew. He has 5 cards since debuting in Generation 5, and we actually just got one out of the 5 in battle styles. And Aaron, what does that bad boy do?
That bad boy is 160 HP, stage 2 fighting Pokemon. Sorry, brown grass Pokemon. Has 2 attacks. First attack is Hammer Pressure for 1 fighting, 2 colorless, deals 90 damage. And if the defending Pokemon is an evolution Pokemon, it can attack during your opponent's next turn. And then it has the attack of Mega Punch for 2 fighting, 2 colorless, for 150 damage. It is psychic. It's 3 retreat cost because it's not a dark Pokemon.
You're telling me this card never saw play? This thing's amazing. Look at all the stuff it does.
I think in the pre-release format, like, it was kind of good. But I think that was about it.
That's what it was made for? It's like pre-release?
Well, they didn't even give it to you, like, in the pre-made decks. It was just like, if you can muster the Evo line, like, you're chilling.
Right.
That makes sense. Sadly, I could not find any cards for PSA at all.
No, but I did find one through eBay. GMA. Yeah. That's a Gem Mint 10 from Battle Styles, and it goes for a whopping $20.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I have a guy who's selling one on Mercari for $30 because it's a miscut and it's thick, supposedly. He's like, it's a thick miscut card.
Very cool, Kai. I like miscut cards just as much as the rest of them, but I want it to be ugly. I want this thing to be sideways. Like, this needs to be bad.
Yeah. All that looks weird on the card is on the left side, instead of round edges, they're just sharp edges.
Yeah. I mean, the card also looks damaged, too.
Yeah.
At the back of it, that other corner right by the fighting symbol. I would not pay $30 for this personal.
Now, it's been up since May of 2021, so it's been over a year.
A little bit of time. I would definitely go for that grade 10 one that Drew found. $20.
If
I'm just saying.
Favorite Pokemon?
If it is your favorite Pokemon, it's going to be someone's favorite Pokemon. Some construction worker or something like that. This is his fucking guy. Go buy that for $20. Enjoy your fancy grade 10.
Yep. And also, if Kunkelder is your favorite Pokemon, you're lying.
I feel like his look, someone likes how that Pokemon looks. I can see.
Fair.
Jeez. I guess I feel that when people say Jinx is their favorite Pokemon or Mr. Mime. I feel like Mr. Mime has a small following for sure.
Nobody likes mimes.
You know who really likes Mr. Mime?
Ash's mom.
I knew it was coming, but still.
I love you guys. Well, welcome to PokéDads. Hey, well, the news is kind of light this week. So one of the things I want to just bring up is I have the full release of every Pokemon product that's going on between now and the end of the summer. And, you know, if you guessed it, yeah, we're getting a lot of Pokemon Go stuff. And one of my favorite things that came out actually today on Twitter was someone took a picture in the print factory of the tin art of the little pints. And it looks like we're getting the evolution lines of the Kanto starters of Squirtle, Bulbasaur, and Charmander. So that's pretty exciting. There was also Japanese news of a promo that had a new Pikachu and Ivysaur on the poster promo. So even before this, we knew that we were getting a Bulbasaur evolution line for the first time in who knows forever. When. It's been a hot minute for Venusaur, so.
But you know, it's exciting. The rumors of the Radiance coming out in the set as well of Charizard, Blastoise, and Venusaur. Does that mean they're going to be evolution Radiance?
Ooh.
Or are we going to get two Venusaurs?
Two Venusaurs.
That'd be so sick. I'm all about that.
I'd be kind of mad, like, what? Out of all the Radiants right now, that's an American release. It's only Greninja is the only evolution one, right? If I know. Is that correct?
No, Gardevoir. Because Gardevoir is a stage 2 as well.
I'm saying in the States. Technically
it will be in the States.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't trying to get too ahead of myself, not going into Dark Origin, you know, because technically we don't get that until August and then we're getting this set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatevs. Anywho. I think that would suck if that involved, because the whole point of the Radiant is supposed to be this one card that you're only allowed to have one in the deck, and it's supposed to help you.
No, realistically, I wanted that to be incorrect, because I get two Venusaurs. So,
yeah,
it's a win-win.
I hope you get two Venusaurs.
I do, too.
I want two Venusaurs. I want a shiny Venusaur for the first time in the TCG history, and then though you won't hardly know that much of a difference because it's just a shade off green. All right, real quick.
He's got some yellow accents.
I'm going to say, let's, before I get into the summer product thing, if you were able to change Venusaur and Blastoise's shiny color, what would you change them to? And Aaron, it's just a slightly light blue for Blastoise and then a yellow green for Venusaur, where Charizard is black.
I would just make them all black.
Really?
And then make their accents their typing distinction. So like, okay. you just get a big black frog with green accents. Maybe throw some hot pink in there.
So and still like the green leaves on Venusaur.
Blastoise, a big black shell, and then he just got his blue arms.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's a tough call.
But you still enjoy the shiny? That's why
I mean, you're saying. I never really looked at the, honestly, I've never really looked at the Venusaur shiny. So I don't mind it. So I could definitely see going with a different, I would actually like to see a different plant for me. Just make it different entirely. But besides that, color wise, I would say I could see going like a standard like black for all three is something interesting. Otherwise, I would actually have gone maybe the other way and darkened up the Venusaur's body and go with a different color of its leaves. So like go like an autumn type of setup with it and change it up that way. I think that would be really cool.
That would actually be really dope. I need Pokedex fan art of that. There it is. What about Blastoise?
Know an artist, yeah.
Yeah. What about Blastoise, buddy?
Blastoise needs to be colored like a fire tree.
Bright red. I love it.
So dumb. I would probably do like a cool gray for Blastoise. Like Tokar from or is it Rezar? Oh, it's Tokar, right? Tokar was the turtle from Ninja Turtles? Or was it Rezar?
I don't remember. Dude, it's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Tokar! Rezar! Go play, have fun.
I think it was Rezar.
Anyways, I would like that to be like gray. I think that would be pretty dope with a darker shell. That would be pretty sick. And for Venusaur, probably like instead of the yellow green, maybe like I probably think orange, like a lighter orange would be kind of cool.
Make him like a rainforesty frog looking thing.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, oh man, yeah, rainforest, like any one of the cool rainforest markings on it. Great.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, hey, Charizard, by the way, your Charmander and Charmeleon is just this brighter orange, and then he goes black. And then the other two are like, eh.
Yeah. Leslie, so you'll get some purple accents and sorry, Bulbasaur, you're just green.
Poor guy.
I mean, I like green. I'm just saying.
I do too, but I feel like shinies should be like,
yeah,
crazy. Like, yeah, like if it's gonna be so hard to like find and catch and breed, like make it worthwhile.
100%. You know?
I feel the same way. Where like they did Gengar dirty, and he's just like one shade lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that a shiny Gengar? That's
Piplup. Also, Piplup is like you can't even fucking tell that it's a shiny.
You have to see the three stars.
You have to see the sparkles.
Yeah. Woo! All right. Well, thanks to PokeGuardian. They made an article of all the dates between now and the end of summer of all the Pokemon stuff we're getting. And this is a lot of fun. First off, coming off in June 17th is when we get the Divergent Powers tins of the starters because from Hisuian or Arceus. Because we only get their full arts in this set. Oh, no. We get... No, that's dumb. We're getting the old art of the cards. That's what I meant to say. Because normally, if you go back to the Eevee lines of Jolteon, Flareon, and Vaporeon, we didn't get the original arts because they were in the tins. But these are the... where are they? So I forgot what promo. Or are they American exclusive? Might be American exclusive. But at this point, I'm just talking out of my butt. But anyways,
these are augmented arts. So you'll get the base art and you'll get the full art. And I don't think the starters have alt arts, but these are just augmented arts, kind of like the last Sylveon tins we got. Or Sylveon, Espeon, Umbreon, how they're just different art.
Just a, like a promo art kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then on June 17th, we'll get the Shadow Rider and Ice Rider League Battle decks. And then July 1st is when everything starts hitting the fan. We get the Trainer's Toolkit 3.0. All the Pokemon Go stuff from Elite Trainer Box, the Pokemon Center Elite, the Pokemon Go Mewtwo V Battle Deck with Melmetal V Battle Deck. Which I'm curious what the holo is going to be in those. So, usually it's kind of a... a trainer or a supporter and as a holo. We'll get the Pokemon Go special collections with Team Instinct, Team Mystic, and Team Valor. And then the Pokemon Go collection Alolan Exeggutor.
Into it.
And then the Pokemon Go premium box with the Radiant Eevee, which that Eevee is flipping crazy. We talked about it where it had the attack that allows you to grab as many cards from your deck, as many different types of Pokemon you have on the field. And then the after 2 weeks, on July 15th, we get the Pokemon Go tins of Snorlax, Pikachu, and what's Clefairy's? Not Clefairy. What's Chansey's evolution again?
Blissey?
Blissey. That's it. And then July 22nd is the back-to-school pencil case and the Eraser Blister 2. And then August, the day after my birthday, is the Pokemon Go tins, the Pokemon Go pin collection, which I mentioned earlier. And then at the end of August, on the 26th, we're getting more Pokeball tins. And it looks like the as of right now, it's just the Ultra Ball, Great Ball, and the Pokeball. And then on September 30th, we'll be getting the last Pokemon Go item of the Premier Deck Holder Collection. No image of this item yet, but I'm sure it's going to be cool. Mm-hmm. Or it's going to just be...
It's going to be something.
We're getting... I know, I'm getting a little anxious.
You guys play Pokemon Go at all?
No. I honestly haven't played Pokemon Go for years upon.
Yeah, so our Go followers, viewers, listeners, reach out to the text line and tell us if there's any, like, balls specifically to Pokemon Go that, like, don't exist in, like, the game or the show or stuff like that. Because that would be really, really cool if they kind of made the ball tin specific to Go.
You know? Like, if there's something, yeah. But I can see the three, the Ultra, because like the most Pokeballs you use is the Great Ball, Ultra Ball, and the Pokeball. That makes sense of why the three. It is funny. I have the game still on my phone, mm-hmm. and I only open it when I'm at Scott's.
Yes.
Because they Scott plays it. Yeah, Scott plays it. Scott's wife plays it. My brother plays it. And then my brother's wife plays it. So they're always like the phone is always on. Like, we were over there a couple of weeks ago, and it was during the community day for, who was it? No, I know you don't know. Oh, it was for Beware. It was the community day for Beware. And I had to go catch Pokemon for Scott and Alicia while they were cooking dinner. They're like, Rick, grab these. There's only 10 minutes left of the community day. I was like, okay. I did it.
I charged them.
No, because what, they gave us free food, man. You know how I like food.
Free food is good.
My food is pretty good. Outside of that, guys, I don't have any other kind of news.
No, anything there really isn't anything else that kind of came out.
Yeah. Outside of, we got New Jersey coming up for that. I'll be able to watch it through Pokemon's Twitch channel, which I'm pretty excited for. And yeah.
That's fine. Sometimes it's a short news day. You know, that's how it goes sometimes.
No, I'm not stressed. That's true. That's true. You know what? Before we go on break, I totally forgot to do one thing before we close the episode. So what's I'm just going to do it now and then we'll go on break. If you're listening on Spotify, please take the 5 seconds and hit that follow and notification. Five star helps out a lot. Same thing with iTunes. And then if you want to help support the podcast, we do have a Patreon at patreon.com/PokeDadsTCG, where we have different tiers ranging from $2 to $50. Every little helps, and we do appreciate everyone that is currently there and making our Discord as fun as possible. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate all that. And if you're a new listener, if you heard us from the Hexer tournament last weekend, or from a friend, or you just found us by searching podcasts, thank you for taking an hour and a half of your day to check us out and listen to us. We appreciate you, and hit us up on that text line. Say hi. Tell us how long you've been doing it, or why you found us. I've been getting quite a few of those this past week, and that stuff, you know, means a lot. It makes me know that not all of this is for nothing, even though I get to hang out with my best friends every week, but also know that we're part of your life every week means a lot. And Aaron has the song of the week, and he was super excited because it was almost a new song. Came out in 2021.
So. You. That song. I'm put on the spot. It's been so long since we talked about it. Silverstein, Bad Habit.
Bad Habits is a good one.
I had it.
I know. We'll be back.
PokéDads has partnered with Ink Gaming to bring you a fantastic deal. For 10% off your entire order at checkout, use code DADSPOD10. That's DADSPOD10 for 10% off all your custom playmats, custom mouse pads, custom dice bags, and a plethora of other gaming accessories. Again, use DADSPOD10 when checking out at inkgaming.com. I keep chasing bad feelings. I keep breaking down and never deal with it. Drown cause I don't wanna swim. I'm good with bad habits.
Such a good break.
It was wonderful.
It was wonderful. What was the song we were listening to?
Song was Silver. It was by Silverstein. It was called Bad Habits.
Bad Habits.
Yeah.
Good job. That's a newer song.
I know. I was like, ha ha. It's new and it's not. Yeah, it's new and it's, you know, it's good. Two things. Two important things.
But yeah, Justin.
thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Very good conversation at some point.
Life is great.
No, we're doing great.
Good, good. Well, thanks for taking the time hanging out with Justin and giving us your point of view of how to prep for a regional event, since, you know, that stuff is going on. And, you know, you have a team. You want to talk about your old team? You want to talk about the new team real quick? Do you want to keep that under wraps?
What do you think? Yeah, no, we're actually ready to do the full unveiling. I'm kind of running the social media for that, so I just got to get on my A game. But, you know, so it's pretty much our old team. Team Two Shot was our team that we used to practice and prep for regionals and stuff like that. We've since, one of the guys left, he no longer plays Pokemon. He moved on to a couple different card games. But we kind of rebranded. Now we're going to be called Team Unknown, since we're kind of unknown players at this point. You know, it's kind of just that fun play on words. But we got a couple new guys that got into Pokemon through the COVID era, and we've been kind of prepping them for, you know, post-rotation. We all collectively decided that we're going to take a break from regionals currently until rotation hits the new season and go from there. So gives everyone on the team kind of money or time to save up money and stuff like that. But yeah, Team Unknown. We've got Instagram if you guys want to check it out. I kind of clean swiped the old Instagram and starting over fresh. So soon there should be some posts with introductions of members, and going to keep it fun, do some deck lists, prep stuff like that. And yeah, that's the team.
I love it. Am I still doing some art for that project or what?
Yes, I've got to get with you about that more. We've been trying to figure out a jersey supplier thing right now, and then once we figure that out, we'll work on graphics and stuff.
Sweet. I just plug myself in there. It's a good time.
Yeah, look up Rick's stuff. He did some work for me. Did my Poke Brews logo.
Yeah, I try to do it. I do all the Poke Dad stuff. I do a lot of comic book stuff too. If you're bored and want to check my personal account on Instagram, it's just Pokedad Rick. Look for the guy with the silly beard. You can't miss it.
It's not silly.
I was really waiting for some like strange, like off the wall name. Like it has nothing to do with Pokedads whatsoever. Check me out at Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan 24.
Before PokéDads, it was definitely my old screen name of Once a Prep. That's what it was.
Ah, yes, the good old days.
Then I changed it. Before that, it was Kiddo with a bunch of numbers, and then playing Gears. One of my favorite things was, everyone was like, I just died by someone with a lot of numbers, because it was like Kiddo 4567899, blah, 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 because Kiddo was such a generic name.
Just slightly.
But anyways, getting off topic, we'll reel everyone back in. So next set of regionals is New Jersey coming up this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the best way to discuss, Justin, is how do you prep, like, especially if it's back-to-back weekends? Is that rare to have back-to-back weekends in the United States?
Yeah, it's they definitely crunched a lot in with this year and all, you know, obviously the COVID stuff that happened and are still going on. But, yeah, normally they're a little more spaced out. Every once in a while, you'd kind of get one or two back-to-back, but it'd be usually, like, an American or North American one, and then you'd have somewhere, like, a European one and stuff like that, something where you're not going to get a lot of kind of crossover players. Maybe the one or two that are, like, super serious or points chasing. But, yeah, before it was rare to kind of have a back-to-back weekend, or especially multiple back-to-back weekends.
Yeah, I won't lie, I like it. It keeps me busy over the weekend.
It's so crazy. The meta is developing so fast because of it, too.
Yeah. Well, then it gives me an excuse to text Drew all the time. I'm like, hey, buddy.
What are you doing?
Like, he's like, I'm trying to live life, Rick. I'm like, I'm sorry.
This is life, Drew.
Your kid Drew was sick. He was dying over the weekend. He's like, I'm not doing anything. Yeah, I guess it makes sense, because then we have New Jersey, and then I believe it's Vancouver before Milwaukee.
I think so.
Yeah. So I guess now, if say we're like us, of course, we're not doing New Jersey, we're doing Milwaukee.
Right.
That gives us a little less than a month to prep say that, and but then if we were going to do Ohio that following weekend, I just feel like that's just a lot to enjoy, a lot to consume, because you're going to know the meta for that weekend in Milwaukee is going to be different than the meta that's going to be for the internationals in Ohio the following weekend. Yeah. And Milwaukee is the first one in the States with Astral Radiance as being legal. So it's just like, I guess my question to you to start things off, let's say, how would you prep yourself to get ready for Milwaukee? And then we'll discuss that and then be like, well, what would you do if you only had not even 7 days to prep for the internationals in Ohio?
So like in like for current situation, like just back to back.
Yeah.
If I were to go to these events.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Like what would you and your team would do in that situation?
Man, so I will say it's kind of hard because it's so back-to-back, but I mean, the first thing I guess we would do is kind of, you know, I hate to say, or don't, not hate to say, but like, look at what a lot of the content creators are doing, like, you know, keep an eye on their fresh videos, because, you know, those are the guys that are also going to pop up at a lot of these regionals, you know, especially the people like Andrew Mahone, Azul GG, kind of get a feel for what they're testing, what they're doing. I know for our current situation, like here in Florida, or not current situation, but my situation, our team situation in Florida, we have a lot of pro players here in Florida. So for us, we actually, a lot of our testing would be going and kind of to the bigger events back when they were doing league cups and challenges and getting with a lot of the guys that are like going to these regionals and, you know, talking with them like, hey, you know, what's, so we'd get a chat going with these guys, like, what are you guys playing? What are you guys thinking? What are you guys feeling? You know, you get your feelers out. You kind of want to test the field outside of your testing group. And then once you get some feelers, go back with your testing group. And you kind of want to spitball ideas like, okay, so what was big at this last regional? What was big at this cup? What was big at this challenge? What were techs that we're seeing? What were techs that we should have saw but we didn't? And kind of start metagaming from there. We'd start testing all kinds of different decks. I know a good example is like we just did this 1K event this last week. And at that time, you know, everyone was playing, you know, no one was expecting, like for me, I played Arceus Duraludon because everyone was playing tons of special energy based decks. No one was expecting it. Kept going, reaching out to like all these people and seeing like, hey, you went to this tournament in Orlando. What was the field like? What did you play against? What are you seeing? You know, just hitting up kind of my resources. And then from there, you know, we start testing some of those decks. Like, oh, you saw a ton of Suicunes. Let's play against Suicune. Oh, hey, you saw a bunch of Mew this week. Let's play a bunch of Mew. And, you know, and then even from there, we kind of start taking like, well, what are these techs that people are saying are outlandish? And let's just go ahead and throw them in there because you're going to start seeing those techs come in to prep for what wasn't there at the previous event. So it's kind of like a weird, it's, I'm sure you've heard people say it's like you're metagaming the counter for the counter and stuff like that. I think you guys have said that on your podcast.
It's Aaron's favorite thing.
And it's honestly, it really is, it's true when it comes down to that. Like, so for me, I know whenever the last regional we did before COVID shut down, we kind of looked at the last results from the regionals. And we know like the top pro players, like they're already preemptively like, oh yeah, we're like three sets of, you know, three decks ahead of this and stuff like that. But we looked at it and go, okay, so this deck won, so everyone's going to test this deck to beat those decks because they're going to expect the general population to like bring that. And then we start testing literally the counter of the counter, and it ended up doing really well for us, which at that time was Ability Zard, and it just a beat stick of a deck for those that don't know what Ability Zard did. And yeah, it was like people weren't expecting that. Everyone was expecting Baby Blounds, which was kind of a bad matchup for us. But as long as you knew to take out like the Pidgeys and stuff early, it worked out great. So, yeah, I mean, it's really weird to think of it on the fly, but it is really one of those like, okay, like let's reach out to everyone we know that's playing like on a higher level and start testing with them. Let's start seeing what they're playing against. Because people kind of give off hints and stuff like that, right? They're like, oh, yeah, I played a bunch of Mew, but it wasn't that big of a deal. It's like, okay, they're obviously testing something that's, you know, going to beat Mew and stuff like that. So, and the pros do all this kind of stuff too as well. They won't say, like, they've got all their secret Discord groups and stuff for a reason now because it's like before they would just, you know, have their little video chats or have buddies over and stuff like that. Well, that buddy would go to, you know, oh, yeah, it was my buddy's group hanging out and they were playing this. Well, that's a leak right there and stuff like that. So now it's a lot more locked up, it seems, but it's I don't know, it's really fun to try to metagame the metagame, if that makes sense.
One of my favorite thing though was going over before where was the last one at? Oh, Indiana.
Yeah.
Duh. Everyone's telling everyone not to play Duraludon.
Yeah.
Like, don't do it. It's sauce. Don't play it. It's stupid. Because
people that conversation with someone. They were like, don't you love Duraludon? I was like, oh yeah, but I'm not playing that right now. Like, that's that deck's dead. Like, that was a total meta call whenever I took it, like, a couple weeks ago and stuff like that, or a month ago now.
Yeah. Even you're like, here's my deck list for Duraludon if I was going to Indy.
Yeah, yep, I did post that. Which then, of course, like, I made that deck list, and then I literally instantly went back after I posted it, and I was like, oh, wow, I don't need the Zam tech because I'm literally playing the Steel Duraludon. I'm stupid. Like,
hey, man, you're human. We always make the little mistakes. I was joking with Aaron this morning while I showed him, I took a pic of all your Oaks. I was like, do you want a set of Oaks? And he's like, I don't know, Grass Sex will really...
Like, am I playing in Professor Research? Is there a purpose to this, making you spend money on me? I'm just looking out for him.
And I showed him one deck, and I was like, well, this one has two, and, you know, because we're prepping for, you know, whatever Astral's coming up with. And then we were looking at Andrew Mahomes' list for Lillian, is that right? That's how you pronounce it?
Lillian. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, no, you're right. This one doesn't play it. And then I looked at the deck 5 minutes later. I was like, wait, no, there's two researches in this deck. I was like, no, we're good, man. Plus they're good. And they're not rotating since it's a research card. So, you know, it's in good hands, man. You'll be
exactly, fine. Exactly. Yeah.
I was going to say no. I was just, you know, looking out. Okay. Fun.
All right. Quick question. Is it in terms of, like, guessing the meta field, would you say that your team and the way that they go about changing the way that the decks look, the 60 card count, if you will, from one to another, is it important to be proactive and try to almost simulate what's going to happen at the next event in terms of what everybody is teching in to counter the deck that won previously? Or is it more of a reactive thing where you're like, okay, this won, what is the immediate counter to that, and how does the trifecta pan out? Because at the end of the day, it'll end up being, you know, maybe something Urshifu, maybe something Arceus, maybe something Mew, and then all three of those will just kind of rotate for the rest of this until Astral comes out.
Yeah, so in current meta, yeah, it's kind of, it is like that a little bit. It's kind of like the trifecta, right? It's better in a sense because there's different variants of Arceus and stuff like that, so it is a little harder to tech for it. I mean, you do have your big three. In the past, it was a little bit more diverse for us, so now it's kind of a new metagaming on trying to, you know, prepare for that, because you can try to prepare for everything, but you're going to have one of those, like, just, I don't want to say auto losses, but, like, definitely 70-30 matchups where, you know, you can prep, but, like, if you see this one deck, you just go, oh, this is the one deck in the field, because you only have 60 cards at the end of the day. You can only fit so much in your deck. So you do want to be kind of cautious, like, while you're prepping for, like, the counter of the counter. Also, don't forget what is going to counter you as well, too. So try to have something to cover yourself a little bit if you do hit that one matchup. But it's, you know, you're always going to be caught off guard by something. Like, you know, I'm going back to the past for examples, but the last regional we went to in Daytona, my team captain at the time, the guy that's no longer on the team, he played the one guy who was playing, funny enough, it was a Beedrill deck at the time too, but it was like, it was literally, I forget what it did. It was like Dual Sting or something like that, where it was, it knocked itself out and the opposing active Pokemon, as long as it had a special energy on it or a damage counter or something like that.
I believe it was a special energy. Yeah.
Yeah, it was something like that. And so, you know, here we are playing Ability Zard, which is a three prize deck. And, you know, how do you prep for that? You really can't, because they go, cool, I'm just going to knock out whatever you feed me and still take prizes. Or I'm going to boss up that, you know, the Charizard Reshiram on the bench and take three prizes. And it's just like, how do you prep for something like that? So you're going to see some weird stuff that you can't prep for. But yeah, you do want to prep for the counter, but also, like, try to not overthink it too much. Like, you want to have a good match spread up, like spread, if that makes sense. So I would rather have consistency in a deck than fully count, like only have 100% win rate against this one deck, because chances are everyone else is going to try to counter a counter or counter a counter counter, you know? So it's like, consistency is still key. Just kind of try to throw in those techs that might give you a better advantage.
Okay, so yeah. I have a question. In terms of like what we're seeing coming up here with like Milwaukee, where it's going to be a completely new set and it's the first tournament. I know you already talked about, you know, looking up some of the pros and what their ideas and thoughts are, but is there any good reason to potentially even like look at like what the Japanese you know, decks are doing at that time? I know obviously sometimes the cards aren't exactly the same, but to give an idea of the potential meta we may see to prepare for that.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to start. I personally don't have the sources, but the guys on our teams are always like sending like screenshots like, hey, this deck just did really well in like Japan, stuff like that. I mean, I say I don't have the resources, I just don't have the like, you know, the links to see their results and stuff like that. Yep. Personally, but yeah, I think it's a good call, at least for a start, because their sets always come out first and you can kind of see what's doing well. And that's what a lot of the pros and stuff do as well too. And sometimes by doing that, you can actually kind of prep for those decks as well, because a lot of times you are going to see similar decks to those in your field, because obviously people see results from that and you go from there. And you know, and I do have to admit too, like I'm not the best deck builder in itself. I was always the guy on the team that like one of our guys would build a deck. I would play it and I go, okay, yeah, I see this 60, but this card did me no good. What if we replaced it with this? So like my skill in the team was more or less like, hey, I see this consistent deck you brought, but this, you know, say for instance, research. Hey, you got 4 research in here, but throughout the game, I'm only playing 2. What if we switch one of those to like an ordinary rod or something like that? You know, and I was always the guy that kind of, or I am the guy that kind of throws those 1 or 2 tech cards in a deck and stuff like that. But as far as like building the deck from the ground up, I've like I said, I'll admit I am not the best deck builder on the planet. Like I theorize stuff all the time and I go to play it and it's just a pile, if I'm being honest. But give me a deck someone's built that's like a really good deck builder, I'm like, oh, cool, man, I'll play this super consistent and then change out 2 or 3 cards and make it completely my own. And it's like, you know, I just play it like it was my own at the end of the day.
Okay. I know that. And a lot of people are like that too, though. So it's not like, I feel like my favorite part is building, but I'm not like super, super good at it. But I'm, you know, it just, it's confidence too. You go up on Twitter and you post and you be like, because like, oh, I broke it. Here's the cracked out version of this Charmander deck. Have a good time, everybody.
Yeah.
Or I saw one on Twitter. It was pretty funny with a Mew deck. And he's like, I broke it. Mew is now unbeatable. And then he put 8 capsules in there. Fusion capsules. It was kind of funny. It was like 4 normal arts and then 4 golds, and they were separated from each other, so it took a while for people to even notice. They're like, we don't see what's wrong.
Really funny. That's a good one.
Wasn't there like a couple, like a month or two ago, where it was like when Mew was like fully dominated online, someone's like, oh, I made a better version of Mew. It was like all they did was added a second escape rope or something like that.
Yeah. My favorite thing is texting Drew and be like, bro, look at this. And he's like, oh, it's broken because they switched 1 card. He's always like, it's broken.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, it is. I just broke it. I broke it, guys. I put 1 Marnie in the Mew. That's all I needed to do.
Game over, man.
Yeah.
I put a Switch Cups in there. It's now unbeatable.
So as it comes down to practicing, Justin, say like Aaron and I, and we have a couple other friends just, you know, not as serious, but they're going to play some decks that we've built to just get familiar with the Palkias and then the Algas and, you know, all the newer stuff that we have to learn and get comfortable with.
Yeah.
What is the best way to approach when it comes to that? Like, should we make sure we're playing all the decks too? Like, I'd be like, okay, Aaron, you're going to play this deck and then I'm going to switch off between, I'm going to play Mew, then I'm going to play Dialga, and then I'm going to play Palkia, and then I'm going to play Arceus with something. And then, so I'm familiar playing it, but also I need to get reps in playing against it too, right? Like, so what's the best way to approach that?
So yeah, our team, the way we've done it in the past, we would have all the decks built, and we would kind of take turns. So it's like, one time it would be, or for like a couple rounds, it would be me playing the deck that I want to test. And my opponent, say Derek, who's our current team captain, he would sit on the other side and he would have like five or six decks. And we would just, like, just him and I, we'd put timer on our phone and we'd go, okay, let's go. And I would play my deck. We'd play, you know, depending if it was, a lot of times we'd do just kind of two, or we wouldn't really do two, or best two or three. We'd kind of just play until we felt comfortable. Okay, cool, switch next deck. And I would keep the deck and he would switch over to the next one. You know, a lot of times it'd be, or if it's a deck I'm already comfortable with, I'd go, hey, this is my bad matchup, or what I feel like is going to be my bad matchup. Can you play that deck for me like a couple times? And we'd play it through over and over again and stuff like that. But then we'd also switch off too, because one, if you're playing the deck that you want to know against other decks, you're going to get more consistent with it. But if you're also playing the decks against someone else, or of the decks that you're used to seeing, you're kind of learning the techs or the outs and stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely recommend you playing decks you think you'll face match up against, because it's going to teach you things that, like, you know, if you've never played against Suicune Ludicolo before and stuff, you might not know all their techs or things like that, or the sequencing and things. So you might go, oh man, I've got this in the bag, and all of a sudden someone can pop something out of nowhere that you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Well, if you've played that deck before, you might see that line of play. So when you're sitting across from it, you go, okay, these are now, I, instead of one line of play, I have three lines of play. Which one's going to make the most sense? Because say I take out that Lotad, well, you know, he's got another one on the bench. Should I Avery first? You know, it's just, it's all kind of situational. But yeah, I definitely recommend sitting down. And I don't know how much time you guys fully have, because that's also big. Like, before, we had a lot more time. Now, obviously, with having a kid, it's a little bit harder. But I mean,
I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna have this. I'm gonna be like, Aaron, I'm at your house. He's gonna be like, what? I'm like, I'm here.
No,
I have like a bag of stuff for him too. So
we got to a point pre-COVID where we got pretty serious, where it's like, hey, don't bring your trade binders. Don't bring like fun decks. Don't bring, it's like literally only bring competitive stuff and sit down and get ready to play. Like, cause it was, you know, you're with a group of friends, so you want to like hang out, talk, and trade. And it's like, no, we need to get this practice in and stuff. So we would literally like, yeah, don't bring your trade binders, don't bring this. It's like, we're literally just gonna sit down, put a timer on, you know, and just play. And that's, so
that can't happen in my friend group. It won't happen. But there will be laughs and beer, so we'll be okay with that part. But
oh yeah, we definitely fit those in, like, you know, either afterwards or like the next night, where we're like, okay, we need a, like a mental break and stuff like that. But yeah, it's.
I wanted to go towards a kind of a point of, in a lot of these situations, it's, you know, being able to play with friends and do these things, and sometimes that in the same cases like us where you don't have the time or one of the friends doesn't have time. I think at least we can see you right as a pin. I think the next best thing you can do if you can't play against these decks is to potentially watch some of the pros that we were kind of mentioning before play these decks and see, one, you can get an idea of how the deck's played, and you can kind of see how they counter other decks, including the deck you might be playing, to kind of know how to deal with it. And that might be your only other way to handle that type of situation for those who can't get a group together or get some time with a friend to actually, you know, play back and forth just to test.
Yeah, that's a really good thing to do. We've done that as well too. We'll watch videos and stuff of what these content creators are doing, and it is really good too. And we do it in our testing group as well, to have someone like outside of the match that's standing back and watching, and taking mental notes, because they can explain different plays just like those content creators can when they're playing. Like, I mean, there's all the time where I'm watching a video and I'm like, why did they do that? And then they'll go back and go, okay, I did this because of this, this, and this. And it's like, oh, you know, that's a line of play I wouldn't have seen, you know, if you didn't explain it to me. Or the, you know, the content creator didn't explain it. But yeah, that is a good way if you don't have someone, you know, able to do that regularly with you, is, you know, at least you're getting some kind of more experienced players advice in a sense, even though it's like, you know, it's a recorded video at that point, but it's still, shows you kind of lines of plays and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're also lucky that we still have PTCGO too. So start next Friday when the set comes out, people are going to start building decks. And well, as early as Thursday. So you always have that in your back pocket too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Drew, you got any other questions that are on the top of your head?
Have you been in a Worlds format before?
Like gone to actually like Worlds itself?
No, not like gone to Worlds, but like played in a competitive setting with a Worlds format where it's like this transition in between what's here, what's new, and then what might leave potentially after.
Like going through a rotation and stuff like that?
It's kind of like an in-between rotation format, if you will.
So like how with Milwaukee, that'll be with Astral Radiance and stuff like that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm drawing a blank on the exact set transitions and stuff at the time. But yeah, we've gone through it, and it definitely makes it a lot harder because there are a lot more decks that pop up and things that, you know, obviously you're going to see your content creators that kind of hype up a certain deck that, or, you know, you're only going to see like the five or six decks that come from the set on there, and then all of a sudden a regional happens and a deck you've never heard of or seen or card that you didn't expect to be broken is just broken comes out. Those are definitely a little bit harder to judge. Those are the ones where, in my experience, I've always just taken kind of a more consistent list, because consistency still will sometimes beat those like crazy techs and stuff like that, or new decks. But yeah, it's definitely a lot harder to gauge. Like I said, I'm not the best deck builder, so a new set comes out and I'm kind of like, cool, I gotta see what, like, you know, what's doing well and stuff before I can even judge what I'm gonna build and stuff like that. So to answer your question, I personally like have been in it, but I don't want to say I've thrived in like right into a transitional period. I'm one of those that takes me a little bit of time to start finding like kind of the pet deck and stuff like that that I'm enjoying to play before I like dive full into it and commit to it.
Because I do a lot of proxying. That's kind of like my favorite mm-hmm. thing to do in the game as is. Like, I like to see future sets, future cards, how I can apply them in certain scenarios and partner them with things that we currently have in our format. I've seen a lot of decks in Japan and stuff that have a lot of one-ofs, and we've kind of gotten back into that idea of running a lower supporter count, but you have Palpad to reutilize those supporters in multi-scenarios. Do you think that not Milwaukee, but NAIC, it might be a little bit of shell shock because we have Astral Radiance. It'll be legal for Milwaukee. We'll see what's good. We'll see, you know, like the cream rise to the top and stuff like that. And then we'll hit that little counter to the counter to the counter. And then in an international event, you'll see a lot of these other decks that have been refined in a little different format, but brought over and have either the same level of success. Or do you think they'll fall off completely because of the way the two formats, if you will, international and base, I'm going to call it North American, because we do play a different style of game over here.
Yeah, like, yeah.
We're not as comfortable with the one-ups, you know? Peonia is not in every deck over here, and it very much so is a very prevalent supporter over there. So do you think it's important to stay the course, or do you steer into their game? That way you're not, you know, driving in a separate lane than them, because obviously their stuff's been successful, but they're playing against that same style of deck building over there.
Yeah, so I will definitely say, you know, I've never been to an international championship, but just from, you know, watching streams in the past and things like that, that's a completely different monster than an actual just like a North American regional, because you're right. I mean, the metagaming for the European field versus the American field is, or North American field, is 100% different. I mean, like you said, there's tons of one-offs in the European stuff and things like that. So, I think that you'll see a lot more crazy stuff at North America or NAIC versus the Milwaukee, just for the pure sake of you are going to get those one-offs and things like that. Because it's NAIC is first and then Milwaukee, correct? Or is it vice versa?
No, it's Milwaukee first.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I think you'll see the consistent extra supporter counts and things like that, kind of the general North American build those will be pretty prominent in Milwaukee then. And I think you're going to see the European players and stuff like that kind of metagame with those one-offs and techs like that. It is hard to say, too, because there are some archetypes that, like, just stay just as strong, if not get better, with, one, you know, say, one card that comes out in a new set and stuff like that. But it really is hard to tell. It's anyone's game. I mean, my testing group is no, like, you know, B-Boys testing group with Isaiah Bradner and stuff like that. Like, those guys are on a whole nother level. So it's there. Those are the guys that are going to, like, bring the sauce that, like, no one's seen before, and, like, little techs. But, like, someone like my group and stuff like that, we would probably look at the, like I said, the previous regional and go, hey, let's, you know, metagame for this. So it is harder to say that. I think you're going to see the crazy stuff come out of NAIC and just kind of like the general things you're going to see for the first set of Astral Radiance drop. Like, you're going to see the Darkrai, you're going to see the Lilligant, you're going to see probably the Charizards and stuff to counter, you know, that goes back in that counter. Darkrai is super powerful, but you're going to see Lilligant to, you know, counter that. Well, then what's going to counter Lilligant? The fire. Well, then all of a sudden, you know, Arceus, Inteleon, because it's water-based, is going to do probably pretty well, or Suicune Ludicolo or something like that. Well, then, you know, it's one of those kind of that never-ending loop. So I think for, not to drag that out too long, I do think Milwaukee, you're going to see kind of like your consistent decks and then the crazy one-off Urshifu with some random tech we've never seen with 14 different random one-off supporters and stuff like that's going to show up, because it's going to counter this, counter that, counter this. It's got this tech in it, and, you know, just random stuff like that.
The thing I have with that, though, is it's back-to-back weekend. So, like, the bigger players that you said, I know a big chunk of them are going to Milwaukee. So you're telling me they're going to have this one big deck, but they're like, I'm not going to play it this weekend, but I'm going to play it the following weekend. Is that the goal then?
I think that's 100% what's going to happen. So that, yeah. A lot of players who want that day two at the bigger event to react to the deck that they played in Milwaukee. So you guys might have a really good chance, because if they just bring something super fucky wucky that they want everyone to tech for at the following event, you guys just stay the course, play something consistent, and you'll wipe the board.
That's right. Well, and that's exactly it, right? There's a bigger payout for NIAC as far as points wise and stuff like that and opportunities. So yeah, I 100% agree. I think you're going to see I don't want to say it's not going to be like a bad deck or anything, it's still going to be a good deck, but like with that, those players are either going to already have something built that's going to beat their own deck that they played, because they expect people to copy and paste their exact deck from the week before and play it, you know, so they're going to have something to counter that, or they are going to, like, they're going to get in the, you know, a lot of these players, I don't want to say they don't work, but a lot of them are younger than us, honestly. And they, you know, they're in school and it's summer vacation and or spring break or whatever. And they, you know, they have the time to go, okay, cool, let's sit on Discord for a couple hours a day and test this deck that won, you know, and test against it and this and that. So for us, for someone like us, you know, it's going to be a little harder to go back to back weeks and say like, oh, cool, let's go to both of them and like try to metagame for both. Whereas these guys, I agree with Drew. I think they're going to either have the sauce, like the secret sauce, already hidden and holding it for NAIC, and then play something else that's still good, but not as good as the one they've got for NAIC. You know, I think that's going to be what is going to happen 100%.
Sweet. Sweet. my last question for you, and if Aaron has one, is have you ever been to an event where you're trying to get some meta and then you failed miserably and your deck just completely sucked?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's definitely been, some times where it's not been the right meta call. Like, luckily, like I try to, like I said, I like consistency in decks. Like I tried to stray away from a lot of this cute little tech. So, I mean, even if I make a bad meta call, I seem to do okay. But yeah, there's definitely been times where it's like, yeah, this deck was not the right choice for the day. and it happens to everyone. I mean, whether it's at locals, it's Challengers Cups. It really sucks when it's at a regionals, because it's, you know, you pay money and time and effort to go there. It has happened. But luckily it hasn't been as many times as you know, it's been good calls and stuff like that, which there's been a couple times my teammates, I will say, have saved me, because we have tried to get into the team mentality of everyone plays the same 60. That doesn't always work out sometimes. So there's been times where it's like, no, we're all going to play separate decks. And like last minute, night before, it's like, dude, you got to play this deck. And I'm like, you know, we test it. And it's like, all right, fine. Like, let's, I'll run it. And I'm like, the next day happens, I'm like, oh, thank God you convinced me to switch my deck, because I would have just been scrubbed out like within the first two rounds. Like,
I'm definitely the same way too. Whatever Aaron feels comfortable with, I'm gonna run that too. So
he's stuck easier. Playing grass, guys.
That's, you're lucky it's good.
You're lucky it's good is what you mean. I would have played it anyways.
Aaron, don't do it.
I'm gonna make it work.
Though, like, if you're back. Unsure still at the end of the day, play something you're comfortable with too. Back in the day, mine was Blacephalon GX. Like, I'd go to tournaments and I would have, like, you know, Gardevoir GX, which was another fun deck of mine, and play that, you know, I'd go and I'm like, oh, I'm going to play this. And, you know, I'm like, oh man, I'm not really feeling it. I'm not sure what this field's going to be like. And I play Blacephalon, and it's like, you know, something like that. Sometimes it's not the right meta call, but at least I'm comfortable with it enough to where I could squeak out a couple wins and stuff like that. So yeah. If at the end of the day, you're unsure what to play, just go with the flow, man. Because there's a lot to say about being comfortable while you're at the regional too. Because if you're not, I mean, that's, you're already, if you sit down, you're like shaking because you're like, I'm nervous, I don't know how to play this deck, you know, to its optimal, you're just go ahead and scoop up at that point.
Well, what if I'm just nervous because I'm nervous?
Oh, that happens.
You
scoop it up.
Yeah. You're gonna get up and walk away.
You sit down.
Especially if you're playing me.
I will say, after the first game or two, it goes away. You'll be good.
It's like, sit down and you're like, you fist bump, you're ready, you see your first hand, you're like,
what does Sobble do again?
These glowing? My first round, the last regional Daytona, the first round, I sat down and I was super nervous. That was one of those times where I was convinced to play Ability Zard the night before, because I was going to play Blacephalon GX. And I went to go play Ability Zard, and I sat down against some girl playing Gardevoir Sylveon. And I'm like, you know, I was like, kind of like, okay, I kind of know this matchup, but I'm still not comfortable with this tech. Dude, that girl sat down with so much confidence, and like, she swept the table with me, man. Cause I was just like, okay, I know I need to do this, but what happens if you do that? Like, I was kind of shaky, nervous and stuff. And she swept the table with me. I'm like, well, cool. Lost round one. So I guess it's fun from here. And then, you know, then I was good the rest of the day. But yeah, man, she sat down with so much confidence. I think she could tell I was nervous too. She like, just like,
she's like, go. You're a little bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, well, you know what felt even worse too? Like, dude, afterwards I was like, where's that girl at? Like on the table. So she, table one, literally was at table one. After she beat me, I was like, well, I could lie and say that she's a pro player. She's at table one, so I don't feel bad with my friends, but yeah. No, she, I think she ended up doing really well at the tournament.
That's good. If it was my comfortable deck, it would have to be Leafy on VMAX right now. But I always feel like when it's important and it's like, I'm going to win this, it's when the deck flops. And I was like, I'd be like, oh, this feels good. This feels,
hey, man, no one's expecting it.
No, there's other grass, bro. Like, we could play Rillaboom.
Rillaboom, one shot everything. So. Drew's like, hey, don't, man, you dare, Drew.
How dare you? Rillaboom. There you go.
Get rid of the baby booms. Just fucking accelerate through our, yeah, perfect. Perfection.
The energy discard engine right now is just not so strong.
He's like, no. Yeah. Anything else, guys, or are we Gucci?
I'm good.
I think we've rung them dry.
Sweet. All right, Justin. Well, we'll open some packs and then we'll get out of here. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Someone open packs before me. I'll be right back.
Okay. Justin, I'll let you go first.
All right.
All right. And then if Drew's back, then it'll be Drew. And let's see here. You got literally choices of only two Pokemon. You got Arceus and you got Shaman.
Ooh, let's go grass.
You're going to go grass?
Yeah. All
right. And then I'll have Drew grow, let Aaron go grass, and then go Arceus. By the way, if you're new to the Twitch or new to the pod, we did see some people from last week from the Hexer tournament. So thank you if you stuck around for another episode. Every week at the end of our episodes, we do open packs and the polls, the big polls, you get a chance to win them. All you have to do is just hit up on our text line that we said at the beginning of the episode. And one lucky winner every Friday gets the cards mailed to you. And it probably... in the future, because we're actually getting a Vileplume in the next set, we're going to hoard a shit out of them, and we're going to sign it. We're going to give away signed Vileplume cards for a minute.
I got to work on my signature. My signature is horrid.
We'll practice.
Oh, no.
Use your right hand.
Dude, you
you don't want me to use my right hand. It'll look like a kindergarten wrote that thing. It's going to be like, all wobbly and stuff. Oh, no.
Use my strong hand.
My strong arm.
All right, Justin.
Oh, no.
All right.
I looked away when you did that.
Oh, sorry.
You're good. You're good.
All right. 7, Zach, Mike, 4, Quail, Larry, Vagina, 9, 2, Good, Gold, Kill. I don't know.
Nice.
Brown Grass.
Yeah.
There you go.
Floatzel. Hunting Gloves. Vibrava. Sock. Burmy. Staryu. Magmar. Throw.
There you go.
Reverse Snow Runt. And Liepard. Replacement Cincino.
Who's next?
Yeah, Drew's next. Do the do, Drew.
Vagina, Yolanda, Queef, Vagina, Hat, Queef 7, Penis 2, Monkey, 9, Penis King.
9, Penis King? That's a lot of penises, man.
That's a lot of penis. Silvergrass. Magma Basin. Crudont. Collab Stadium, very playable. Buizel. Howlucha. Throw. Magmar. Staryu. Reverse Hollow Desnor.
Oh, shit!
Ooh.
2 weeks in a row.
Almost got to place it.
RCSV from RCSV pack too, right?
Yeah. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
Is that a literal god pack?
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Dad jokes.
For days.
Sorry for the pings, everybody. All right, we have 7, Queef, Vagina, Wood, 7, Kill, 4, Yolanda, Zoolander. X-Ray, My King 7. All right, we have Dark Grass, Collapse Stadium, Luxio, Pot Helmet, Throw Again, Alucha, Weasel Again, Kakarot, Mincino, a reverse holo Luxio, and a muck.
What's up, man? A muck. Muck.
Last
Brilliant Stars before we move on. Should I pray to the gods again for a god card?
Please, Arceus, give me Arceus.
B-Man.
Yes, VMAX.
We have 7 horny X-rays.
Nice.
Nipples, Queef, Milwaukee. I don't know the guys. Jacob, Karen, Penis, Nate, Cock, Harry Cock. Hey, we have green grass.
Yeah, this is the best fucking PAX yet.
Executor, choice belt.
Super playable.
Super playable. The bird, Starvana.
The bird.
Starbird.
Staradia.
Spirit Tomb. What is this one
Other
called?
Bird.
Starly. Other bird. Fly away, Rilo. What's that? Cherubi?
Riolu?
Reverse is Escavalor. That's not it. Escavalor? What is it? How do you say this thing?
Say that Pokemon take 7.
Yeah.
What it's Excavalier.
Oh, that's it. Excavalier.
Oh, shit!
RCSV star. Regular art.
Wow.
Oh, that's
the God Packs were God Packs, yeah.
Yeah. Alright, Justin, we need a banger question of the week for these.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No pressure.
What is the name of my new team?
Oh, that's a good one. It was mentioned at some point.
At some point, yeah. Oh. Again, Justin, thank you for taking the time to hang out with us. We deeply appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course, man. Anytime. Shout out to all our patrons that hung out with Drew and his team last night. What, Drew, your brother won the whole thing, right?
He did. Absolutely. Yeah. Is this the window we're going to use to talk about that?
Oh, yeah, we'll just use it. No, probably not.
No windows.
Anyway, no windows. No windows. I keep thinking, I forgot that it's not like we're our truly goodbye.
We still got a whole podcast to record, buddy.
Wow, spoilers for everybody who's listening on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, good luck with all the whole stuff with the team, Justin. Keep playing. If you were to pick a deck coming out of New Jersey this weekend, what's taking it all? And if you don't think it's a rogue, you could say rogue. You don't have to be specific. You could say something completely different because there's still so much untapped potential of the Brilliant Star meta.
No, if I had to guess, I would say it's either going to be Rapid Strike Urshi or Mew. I'm leaning more towards Rapid Strike Urshi because I've been testing some spice lately that makes it a really good deck, and so I'm leaning towards that.
Nice.
Makes it.
This makes it so hot. I'm a firm believer that Mew's never gonna win a tournament again. So.
Hey, you never know. I think it's one of those things where it's all the best players are kind of been holding off, and it's about its time to shine. Not gonna lie, it's consistent, and people hate it for a reason.
Well, people hated ADP too, and that thing never won anything big. It was
never had an event.
It had 4 team challenges.
Minor detail. Minor detail.
Or a Players' Cup. It's the same thing.
No, you're not wrong, but still, it never had a regional.
Yeah. It didn't need to. There was never an opportunity.
There was plenty of
no opportunity. None.
No. It is different. The cards don't glow in real life.
Dang. Yeah. Well, as always, I'm Polkadad Rick.
I'm Polkadad Aaron.
I'm getting over COVID.
And I'm Polkadad Justin.
I hope you guys have a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening. Check it out. I know the stuff is streaming over the weekend in New Jersey. We know we have a couple of patrons that are going to be there this weekend. So good luck to those guys. Make the Polkadads proud. Take everything. Make a day 2. You know, we're not asking you to win the whole thing. Just make a day 2 sounds very good. But also,
you're
going
to win the whole thing.
Woo-hoo!
And as I said earlier, all the new listeners we got from the past week, if you're here this week again, hey, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And
I'm not muted this time.
You're definitely not muted. And then I'll save everyone's ears for a dad joke for next week. Aaron, sign us off.
And may your pulls be ready. Oh.
first Astro Radiance legal.
Oh, man, that would be fucking hilarious.
All the dark support comes out, and it just gasses everybody because Trekking Boots lets them get to everything that much faster.
Look at Drew. He's thinking about it. He's like, no, that's
going to happen.
No, I have it in my deck right now. It's so fast with Trekking Boots.
I like the artwork of having the Trekking Boots and then have the medallion around its neck, too. Like, I know you can't have two item cards, but it's just kind of funny.
Well, you can't, because the Trekking Boots you don't attach. You just play.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, okay. It's just funny. It's a play on the deck on how it's going to look. I tested it with the Heroes Medal, and I don't like it.
I don't like energy, or the Heroes Medal either.
I like the Tool Jammer better, because then you could stop the Heroes Medal from actually doing anything, and you could take the full three prizes in the mirror.
Yeah.